Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, President, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And here in the studio, Amy, our production coordinator. Good morning. Welcome back from vacation.
Thank you.
And Adam Coons.
Good morning.
The man, the myth, the legend. How was your weekend?
It was nice. Took the kids up to Chicago.
Chicago.
Rode the Ferris wheel.
Nice. Nice. Is Chicago opened up?
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed pretty open.
I was in New York last week, and man, it was night and day.
Yeah.
From a month ago. There were tourists. It was more bustling than it had been in,
right.
Well, 18 months. So this morning we've got a lot to cover. We've got the economy, some little bit of controversy over that, the Fed's next move, which is probably the most telegraphed move ever. Talk about some earnings and then some issues around China and some what we're doing in portfolio models and whatever else comes to mind. So let's start with the economy. So Take what you're reading in the newspaper, in the financial press, and just push it to the side and just accept that we have strong growth the first half of the year that's over 6%, and we will continue to have strong growth heading into the end of the year. And yes, it's going to slow from 6%, but it's going to be over that 2%, you know, kind of GDP that we've been kind of seeing leading up to 2020. So it's going to slow, but it's still going to show historically strong growth. Now, what's fueling this has been the consumer. The consumer's been on fire. Part of that's the personal savings, which was up over $3 trillion during the pandemic. A lot of that has been spent in the first half of the year, but the consumer is still sitting on $1.7 billion in savings. It's a war chest that can be fuel for the economy heading into the fourth quarter, which is the back-to-school sales, and then heading into the holiday shopping season. So we expect some follow-through from the consumer sector. In addition, we do expect some form of infrastructure spending. So we still have aggressive monetary policy. We'll have follow-through on fiscal policy. There is a tailwind here for economic growth heading into 2022. However, big caveat, we expect earnings next year to start to slow.
Sure.
So we've got challenges with margins, increasing labor costs, higher costs of goods that are flowing through. So there are issues. This is not, markets don't move in straight lines. So we've got some issues potentially around 2022. But all of that to say, we still have, this still has momentum heading into the end of the year. But it's not the huge acceleration we saw in the first half of the year. So with that, let's talk about earnings, then we'll come back on the Fed side.
Sure. So last week, obviously, was a big week for tech, all the big names released. So we had Apple, great quarter revenue was up 36%. So they beat expectations by $8 billion. Overall services was up 33%. So kind of firing on all cylinders at Apple. So not really a surprise there. On the Google side, kind of the same thing. Revenue is almost $62 billion for the quarter, which was $5 billion better than expected. YouTube revenue was up $7 billion. And just to put that in context, the revenue from just YouTube now matches Netflix's total revenue.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what I use for watching Saturday Night Live reruns.
Yeah, I do that as well. So then on Microsoft, similar story, beat revenue expectations by $2 billion. Revenue was up 21% year over year. And Azure, which is, you know, kind of the cloud foundation, was up 51%. So cloud continues to decelerate.
Right.
But obviously, anytime you say a company that's worth $2 trillion has a segment growing at 51%, that's a really big deal.
Yep.
We had PayPal. Earnings came in at 115 versus a 112 expected. Revenue was up 19% year over year, which was actually a miss on estimates. And that was really due to Venmo processing was just a little bit less than expected, but that still, once again, was up 58%.
Yep.
So good quarter there. And then we had Amazon. Amazon was kind of the laggard of the week, was down quite a bit. But revenue was up 27% year over year. Really, the drag was online store sales missed by $3 billion.
Wow.
AWS, conversely, was up 37%, which was better than expected. But you're kind of seeing that shift where people are getting back to malls and department stores, because you saw a lot of the department store sales looking better than expected. So you are seeing a slight shift away from online sales. And once again, put this in context, I mean, revenue is still, $100 billion. So
the stock was down 7%.
It was. And that really was based off of the forecast for the third quarter. Now, I'm going to say this. Amazon notoriously sets a low bar going into the back-to-school season and right before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So for the third quarter, their forecast came in $10 billion short of what the street was expecting, and that's really what drove the stock down so much.
Yeah.
But I think we've seen this a lot of times where Amazon sets the bar pretty low so they can exceed it going into the holiday season. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see the same thing here. But regardless, valuations across Amazon are quite stretched. And then what we have coming up this week, we've got the video game producers, so Activision, EA Sports, and then just a few just different industrials and healthcare, Cummins, Lilly, and Amgen this week.
Yep. And we saw last week McDonald's reported a huge comeback from a year ago. Their top line was up 57%. So it's they had a big quarter. And then Ford also had a big quarter last week that they announced, surprisingly, a profit, which the investment they've got in electric vehicles is expected to kind of weigh in the company as they transition. Their whole foundation is transitioning over to the electric vehicle market. So it's going to be interesting to watch over the next several years.
And they had a good quarter despite, supply chain issues with some of the chip manufacturers.
Yeah.
So really good for
so is that working itself out, the chip piece?
It is, yeah. So you're starting to see the actual supply pick up, which is evidence. The evidence of that is when you're seeing used car sales are starting to go down. As you're starting to get inventory back at the new car sales level.
I saw Intel announced that they have a rework for their business, and I think it was just renaming the chip cycle. Was that?
Yeah.
I was like, all right, what? It didn't look like there was a lot of investment per se in chips. It was just kind of rebranding it. Let's shift over to the Fed policy here for a second. Before we do that, though, the Olympics. Are you guys watching the Olympics?
Yeah.
So are we past swimming and gymnastics, moving into track and field?
That's right. Yep.
Yep. Any surprises? I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I'll say that. I love track and field. I don't know any of the names anymore. Hey, let's talk about Federal Reserve here for a second. So in probably the most calculated, scripted messaging that we'll ever
right.
See from the Fed, they are going to start talking about reducing their massive quantitative easing program, their stock or their bond purchase program. And our expectation is it could be as soon as the end of the year. They don't want to spook the market. They don't want to see interest rates shift higher unnecessarily. But with that telegraphed move, I think then we'll have a sense of what the Fed's balance sheet's going to look like near term, and then that'll help kind of dictate what the level of interest rates are. So I think the one thing's for certain, the Fed's not going to keep buying forever. So I think I think that's for certain. I got to rethink that too. So, but the pullback from the Fed purchase program should translate into slightly higher interest rates. How high those interest rates are really allowed to go, I think, remains to be seen. And it's interesting because I think the timing of that is going to happen at a point in time where the economy is going to start to, growth is going to ultimately start to slow.
Right.
And then the question is, okay, so you're removing the stimulus, the economy's slowing, don't you need to put the stimulus back?
Right.
And so we're going to be challenged. And, I think since the pandemic, the government spent over $4 trillion to support economic growth.
Right.
Now, U.S. debt, public debt, was close to $10.5 trillion back in 2008, following the financial crisis were over $28 trillion. So $18 trillion since 2008 is just mind-boggling how fast the debt is growing.
Yeah, when it looks like this $550 billion infrastructure deal is going to push through. So add to the pile.
Let's talk about China.
Let's do it.
So one of the things that we are talking about in our portfolio models is shifting the domestic exposure and then increasing our allocation to broadly to China, given the sell-off that we've seen.
Yep.
So there's a couple reasons for that. One is that these stocks, these are real companies with real business models. There's a lot of noise around whether they're opening up their books, whether the books are cooked. You know, I think there are a lot of these. So to put that to rest, Tencent has an audit release.
Yep.
It conforms to public global public standards.
They do.
International standards. And the U.S. doesn't have access to poke around in their books, I guess. So that's an issue that we don't really get that kind of transparency. But I don't think we will. I don't think this whole idea that China is going to conform to U.S. standards is if we take that and we switch it and say, nope, China's going to run their own way of business and we're just going to have to accept it, then I think we have two different forms of capitalism, two different markets, and they're going to need to coexist.
Yep.
So I think ultimately that's how we're looking at China right now. And over the next 10 years, it's going to be a major global competitor in manufacturing. You will see an auto, you know, and I think we'll see them in the auto market. We'll see them in the aircraft market. So their technology, their manufacturing infrastructure is more and more sophisticated so that their export market, it's going to be interesting, right? So they did it with mass transportation, with the train. They've done it with infrastructure. So their ability to compete globally is just expanding. So with that, we look at companies like Tencent, Alibaba, Baidu. They got hit pretty hard over the last month.
They have, yeah.
So our tendency, compared to U.S. competitors, those stocks look cheap based on where they are. And granted, the Chinese government has taken its pound of flesh. And it's raining in. I think the lessons learned is that if you speak out against the Communist Party, it's going to be punitive.
Yeah.
And so you fall into line. But I think those companies, at the end of the day, are important to their form of communism and their form of authoritative capitalism. And therein lies the issue.
Well, that's the thing is, China's not in the business of putting themselves bankrupt. I mean, they built these companies up and let them grow. They're not going to tear them down and tear down their own economy. So, yes, they're, you know, tightening their grip, but by no means are they going to let these companies just fail.
And I think that's why Hong Kong is really important to China is their ability to access the capital markets.
Yep.
The Hong Kong exchanges, the Hong Kong is a financial center, so that's going to be important to them. So we'll see, my expectation is we will see a shift over the next 2 years where the things lighten up a little bit, the companies fall into line, and we'll see what that does for stock prices. But our bet is that we'll see continued growth from these levels. So.
Yeah, I mean, you've got growth companies that in the U.S. would, you know, have valuations three times as high as what we're seeing in China. And at the end of the day, valuation does matter. So like you're saying in our models, last week we began to shift away from our equal weight holdings and into China. And that's really largely based off of this valuation differential that we're seeing with, you know, the U.S. stocks remaining quite rich and then China just cheapening up.
Mm-hmm. And then, so within our models then, Adam, we've looked at a couple other changes heading into the second half of the year, and one of them is on the REIT side,
yeah.
Increasing REIT exposure. So historically, we have not had REITs in the portfolio,
no.
But we've shifted that, especially given kind of the hit they took during the pandemic. So we're looking to add another REIT to mm-hmm. the position and increase that exposure. What else? Anything else that you've got on your plate for the second half of the year?
I think just, you know, coming back to financials and looking at, you know, that yield curve and how it's flattened so much has hurt financials and readdressing if we think that rates are going to go back up on the long end, how that's going to positively affect financials. So potentially changing that allocation as well.
Okay. So we still, I mean, the second half of the year, we've got football season. Okay. We got more movie releases. Outer Banks came out, I guess. So my daughters told me that the second season of Outer Banks is out. So we got a lot to watch. There's a lot in the entertainment space. We expect travel to continue to pick up. The wild card is the COVID, the variant.
Yes.
That's real. However, I think the big issue is getting kids back to school and in the classroom. That's going to help with relieving daycare stress. Mm-hmm. And so I think as long as we can get kids back into school and we can get some sense of normality, we'll live with the variant unless it takes the same path as last year. And so the key there is to watch as we head into Thanksgiving.
Yep.
What's really happening to the variant. But we shall see. That is the wild card for this the scenario that we've got out. So with that, anything else that you have?
Nothing here.
All right. We'll close this down, Amy. And thank you guys for listening. And we'll talk to you through the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.